Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, welcome to Shift Talking, Dr. Callie Estes. Estes.
Yes.
Estes.
You're right.
Okay. Go with my first instinct. Welcome here. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
My pleasure. So what I've learned about you thus far is that you are crazy qualified to be within the mental health world. This is crazy impressive. So would you be open to giving our listeners a little background to you and what got you into the field and kind of what qualifies you to be helping people?
Sure. So I grew up in a very interesting situation, a very mental health laden family. And I started studying psychology to figure out what was wrong with my family because it was very different than anyone else's family in my friend group. And then in the process of learning that, learned that I was a food addict and went to a counselor at school who sent me to the fat doctor who put me on Fen-Phen. This has gone back to the 90s. Fen-Phen nearly killed me. So I went from, 160 pounds to 90 pounds in 3 months. Ended up in the ER, almost died. The doctor gave me pamphlets for OA and NA, and I go, of course, and, OA is in a basement, people are crying, it wasn't my scene, but NA had food and caffeine and cigarettes, and I was 23, and I'm like, this is my jam, which didn't help. Ended up back in the ER and again, almost died. So then I started studying addiction medicine and mental health, and I've been doing that for 27 years or so. Now I'm into the biohacking, anti-aging space, and more into internal work. So it's not just mental health, you have an issue, take a drug kind of a thing. It's more about manifestation and creating the life you want, but using evidence-based research to get there. So that's what I do.
I love that so much. So within the biohacking, can you help me understand what that is exactly?
So it's kind of the buzzword, biohacking. It's basically figuring out the things that make your body and your mind tick. Mm-hmm. For example, people say I'm depressed. Well, depression isn't a real thing if you're operating at 100% level. So if your vitamins are right, if your minerals in your body are right, if your protein intake is right, if your sleep is right, if your stress is low, there is no depression. Mm-hmm. Depression is something we created in an environment that we put you in to make you not thrive. Right? You work 9 to 5, you have kids, you have dogs, you have responsibilities, you have bills, you have all these things that keep you stressed. Then you sit there and go, there has to be more to life. I'm depressed. So you go to a psychologist who says, yep, you meet the criteria in this book for depression. Here's a drug. Well, the drug doesn't fix your depression. It makes you think your depression's fixed. Mm. Stop taking the drug. You're still depressed, right? So biohacking is the figuring out the why. Why am I depressed? Why am I unhappy? Why am I anxious? And actually solving it so that you don't take the medication, so you don't end up with more complications and problems.
So what I'm hearing is that what we're really doing is taking a look at more of a 360 approach to the way that we live our lives so that we can pinpoint which one it is. Like, would you target sleep or diet or each one of those things, depending on where we're not quite functioning properly?
All of them. Yep. So you figure out what is, people don't understand their biorhythms, first of all. So I'm a night owl. I don't get up before 9 o'clock, period. Full stop. That's it. I don't start my day till 11. Just don't. I have coffee. I spend an hour doing my meditation. Then I start my job. And a lot of people will say, well, to be successful, you have to be up at 5 a.m. You have to go to the gym. You have to read these books. Why? You don't. Yeah. You know, you have to learn your biorhythm. So that's the first thing people miss is their sleep cycle. Most jobs are 8 to 5, 8 to 5:30. If you're a night owl, that's not your schedule. You have to learn that's not for me. And instead of fitting yourself into a box, you have to figure out what works for me and then find those things. So sleep is super important. That's the first one. The second one is food consumption. People eat garbage nonstop in the US, just nonstop. Everything from what you drink to what you eat, it affects your internal organs, which affects your internal production. So those are just the basics. And then from there, we talk about, you know, exercise. What does that look like? And what does, you know, going out in nature look like? We have all these things. And we have all these people, you know, on TikTok and Instagram that say, just go do forest bathing. It'll cure everything. And I'm like, well, that's one part of the things you need to do. There's all these other things you need to do to get there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course. It's one piece of a puzzle is what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. And so with my practice in particular, I specialize in anger management. And now I work with parents primarily within the first 10 years of their parenthood, where we've lost all identity, we've our sleep, our diet, our just entire kind of system internally has just been completely destroyed. So what I oftentimes hear as a pushback is, I don't have time for all of this. I would rather get on a medication that kind of feels like it stabilizes really quickly, and I don't have to not try as hard, but I just don't know that I have the bandwidth for it. So what would you suggest for people who don't know where to start? And also the idea of starting just seems so overwhelming.
I bet this is the same group that's throwing their kids on Adderall because the kids are too much because they don't want to do the parenting piece because it's too much. It's overwhelming. I've got all this going on and I have this hyperactive child that won't sit still in school. So our whole society, all of it, the first thing I would do is educate. And I would say our whole society is designed for you to fail, period. Yeah. You know, you can't, you take a kid who's full of energy and put him in a seat who's supposed to stare at a board and watch a teacher do this. It makes no sense. And then when they don't do it, you medicate them. So the first thing I say to, I would say is, what pieces of your life aren't working and why? What's not working? You know, and they say, oh, it's too many kids or the kids are too loud. No, 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 that's not it. What's not working? And make a list and have them make a list of everything. Now, what can you change? What do you have control over? Maybe you don't go to the office as much. Maybe you switch jobs. Can be huge. Maybe the house payment is too much and you sell the house and buy a smaller house. Anything can be done, but people get stuck in that I'm supposed to go to work. I'm supposed to pay for a mortgage. I'm supposed to have two cars. My kid's supposed to go to college. It's my responsibility. I'm supposed to buy him a car. There's this laundry list of things I'm supposed to do. And sometimes the finances don't match the supposed to do list. So I say there's a way around everything. You know, I got my entire master's degree for free. For free. Because I did an assistantship. I didn't have the money. My parents didn't have the money. How did I do it? So I tell people, think outside the box. What do we need to do first to lessen the stress so that you have the time to do these things? And it can be little things. Like I tell my clients, you have a desk job. Every 45 minutes, get up and do 10 squats. It'll take you less than 30 seconds. And they look at me sideways and go, what? It's going to take you less than 30 seconds. It's going to boost your dopamine and it's going to plug you into what you're doing. And you're going to feel better about what you're doing instead of overwhelmed. And at 3 p.m. when you're sneaking off for the Snickers bar from the vending machine, squat the whole weight of the vending machine. And then tell me if you want the Snickers bar. And when I give them little steps, they can take them. And then they see accomplishments.
I could see that because a lot of the time, I mean, I was within this too. You know, parenthood just completely rocked me. It was not anything that I ever expected, nor was I qualified to get involved in. And yeah, I mean, there's so much that just felt like exhaustion constantly. And so what I started doing was kind of recognizing that the energy that I'm putting toward putting things off and putting toward sustaining what I'm already doing could just be refocused into something else versus the narrative that I always gave myself, which is like, I just don't have the energy. It's like, well, no, I do have it. I'm just putting it toward all of these other things that aren't serving me. So how would you suggest that they pinpoint exactly what it is that they would benefit from most?
Well, it depends on what your issue is, like, and kids specifically. So I don't have kids. I knew I did not want kids. I didn't want to deal with any of it. But I do know it takes a village to raise children. So what I tell parents are, you know, do you have a community of parents that you can get together where somebody cooks dinner for everybody for the week? Or you can do a cookie bake, or you can prep meals, or you could do a carpool, so that it's not you doing every activity every single day. What does that look like? And I was working with a client with this exact issue, and I made that suggestion, and she goes, well, there's like 8 of us moms. We get together for Wine Wednesday. I said, okay, pretend it's Wine Wednesday, but carpool. So figure out how to make it happen. And then she called me, and she's like, okay, we figured it out. We're, you know, my cooking day is Wednesday. It's the only day I cook. And my carpool day is Friday. And they figured it out. And their stress level all went down as a team. So that's what I do. I get people to think outside the box. So sit down and figure out what your issues are and what your resources are to fix those issues. Those are your biggest stressors. Once they drop and you have a little bit of time in your schedule, what do you want to fill that with? You know, is it reading a book? Is it exercise? Is it a walk in, you know, outside? What does that look like? It doesn't have to always be a productive activity. Cleaning the house, doing the laundry, washing the car, getting the groceries. Like, those are going to always be there. I tell everybody, you're always going to have a dirty kitchen.
Yeah.
It's not your priority. It doesn't need to be.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think a lot of this comes down to societally, right? Like, we're not supposed to ask for help. We're not supposed to need help. We're supposed to be able to do everything on our own. And then we all just drown and suffer in silence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's brutal. It's a brutal existence out there right now. And so when we're talking about food addiction and people like me who describe myself as eating my feelings when I'm going through a hard time, and I've almost recognized that the more stressed I get, I start craving certain foods. It's like the first thing that comes to mind, and then it almost like pulls my energy away from what I actually have going on, because now I can focus on the hot and sour soup from the local Chinese restaurant, right? Like, it takes me over there. And while I've learned to listen to my body and my full cues and these types of things, how, and whether it's eating or running or sex or love or whatever these things are, how do you conceptualize that within this whole 360 approach that you're taking?
So you have to figure out what your distraction is first. What do you use to distract yourself from life? Amazon Prime is a good one. Doomsday scrolling on the social media is another one. Eating is one. Binge watching Netflix. What are you using to distract? And look at the amount of time and energy and effort you give that thing. You're giving it power. That's important, because energy goes where your attention goes. So let's say you say to me, I want more freedom. Okay, what does that look like? Well, I need more finances to have more freedom. I need more money. Okay, so how do you make more money? Well, if you're watching Netflix for 3 hours a night, or you're fantasizing about Taco Bell for 30 minutes twice a day, your energy is somewhere else. It's not on making money to give you freedom. It's on escaping where you are now. So if you took that 30 minutes or you took that 3 hours and you harnessed it back in and said, I'm going to create a plan in this time frame to get where I need to go. Sure, I don't like where I am right now. I'm uncomfortable. But you start imagining the life you want. So it's a three-step process. You're going to send it out with your mind. So you imagine what you want. Instead of imagining the hot and sour soup, you imagine the other thing you really want, not the distraction. Then you give gratitude for already having it. So the heart draws it in. So mind sends it out, heart draws it in. So that would be freedom, money, whatever, and then an action. You have to do a step to get it done. So instead of getting the sweet and sour soup to distract yourself, you do the action to get the freedom. Can be anything. Maybe you make a TikTok post. Maybe you start creating a course to sell. You're doing something towards that goal. As opposed to being distracted from the life you have right now that's overwhelming. You know, we say people are overwhelmed, we are overworked, we are overeating, we are over it. You know, we're over everything. But you can't get out of overwhelm if you don't have a plan.
No, I mean, I hear that entirely. So we talked a little bit before we started, right, about law of attraction. And is that kind of where this comes into play?
Yeah. So
Okay.
I tell all my clients, you can change your life very simply. And a lot of people, this is where they get caught up, because they look around and like, well, this is my reality, right?
Yeah.
But your reality is what you see. Your reality is actually here. If you don't see it, it doesn't exist. You have to think of it that way, right? So right now, I can't see my car. Is it there? I hope so. I mean, it could have been carjacked. I don't know. I think sure. It's there, right? But I'm not focused on it. I'm not thinking, do I need gas? Is it dirty? Does it need to be clean? Does it need to go to the...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Shop. I'm not thinking about any of those things because I'm here, right? So the difference is once I give that attention, now my focus is there. And the universe works in energy. It thinks in energy. It doesn't think in solidified objects. So if I want something, I have to send out the energy for it. So maybe I want a new car, or I want a new job, or I want something. That's how I create it. So it's intention first. Heart draws it in. You have to give gratitude, and then action, a step towards getting it. Maybe you're looking for it online, or you're creating that portion of what you're after. But it's a three-step process, and people, they get caught up in the everyday, and then they lose sight of what it is you really want. You know, what do you really want versus what are you currently doing?
I'm muted. Sorry, I'm chugging so much water because I'm sick. So I muted myself so you wouldn't hear my gulps. No, I mean, it makes so much sense. And it sounds simple. We, of course, know that it's not easy. And it's kind of the trap that I think we end up in is this overwhelm. And then we feel like we need to do all of it all at once. And so then we get a case of the fuck it's. And then we just continue doing what we're doing anyway. So... And what I'm also hearing is that, like, we are supposed to just break that cycle, right? Like, if I'm sitting in bed and I have my book to my left and my remote to the right, and I kind of, like, lean toward the remote, it's really just a pivot over and read one page, right? Like, these small little shifts over time is what I'm hearing, yeah?
Exactly. So if you're going to watch Netflix, you know, and you can give yourself permission to binge watch Netflix. I'm not saying don't do that. But what I'm saying also is there has to be consumable content that makes you grow. So, you know, if you're just every night, the only thing you look forward to is sitting there watching TV mindlessly, you're not happy somewhere, right? Because you should be doing things to make you a better human. What can you do? If you're scrolling on TikTok and Instagram, look for the positive stuff. All of my stuff is law of attraction. And occasionally I have some weird psychedelic thing thrown in there. But I'll go through it. It's like law of attraction. I learned something. Oh, okay. Or maybe a therapy hack. I learned something. The goal is to always be learning, because if you're learning something, it's something you can put into place and say, okay, I learned that. Like I have a lot of clients that have ADD or their brain is so super fast. So I taught them all, don't put it down, put it away. Real simple. And it was a life changer for most of them because they're, you know, walking through the room, they set this down, they pick this up, they set it here, they set that there. Then they forgot where their glasses are. Where's my drink? Where's my keys? They spend an hour looking for everything because they lost it. Real simple. Don't put it down, put it away. Where do the keys go? On the rack. Where does the belt go? On the belt hook. Make that happen, and you have less floating around up here. When you have less floating around your mind, you're not going to get as overwhelmed, which doesn't lead you to say, fuck it, where you end up with a drink or a drug, or I'm quitting my job, I'm just going to buy a car on a whim. You're looking for the thing to make you happy.
Yeah. Yeah, all of that, like, instant gratification.
Exactly.
How did you go from more of a clinical environment to something like law of attraction that sometimes can be viewed as like foofy or whatever that might be?
So back before law of attraction was cool and back before The Secret, I used law of attraction to create every one of my companies. I've had six and I've done it with less than $300 in my bank account each time and rent due. And I've always used law of attraction. Even when I was little, when I was young in the 80s, I was studying law of attraction back when there was nothing to find. Like I would go to the library and look for every book I could get my hands on. So I've always used it. And when I've worked with clients, I kind of would slip some things in there and I wouldn't tell them I was doing it. And they'd come back and go, oh my goodness, this worked. I'm like, I know it worked. But I would give them little bits and pieces. And then as it became a buzzword, I switched from therapy to coaching about 15 years ago. So all my clients get coached. I can do therapy, absolutely. But I prefer coaching because it's accountability and outcomes based. And then I throw in law of attraction. And when I teach them how to do it and they get these amazing results like fast, they come back and like, I had no idea this would happen. Well, yeah, if you believe the infinite abundance of the universe is there, it's just a matter of getting into it, receiving it. And a lot of people have limiting belief systems. They have imposter syndrome. They really can't get past that. And that's why they can't access something that's available to everybody.
And where do you, what do you recommend for those of us who can get stuck in those things that prevent us from being in more of this abundance mindset?
Well, that's why I created the workbook. So I have the Life Coach Method workbook. There's 45 exercises in here for everybody. Like basic level all the way up. I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, just write your affirmations down and just make your vision board. And I'm like, okay, that's like level one. And there's 10 levels to this. That's level one. So there's 45 exercises that take it up a notch each time. And then I have a whole course. I created four sections of a course that take you through this. It's level 111, 222, 333, and 444 with the angel archetypes and a blueprint. And it's on unpausyourlife.com. And they can go through each section and it builds. So it's the basic stuff. And then every level builds. So you have to clear first. A lot of people don't realize that. They just sit down and they make these affirmations. And I'm going, you're so negative. You've got to clear the negative before you can bring the positive in. Because they're saying, I want a new car. Okay, great. And then they're complaining, screaming at their kid the next minute. Don't do this. You can't do that. You're so bad. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You went from I want this to this negative. Guess what the universe heard? It tilts the scale. So I have to teach them how to clear first, then shift, then manifest. And a lot of people don't do that. They go, oh, just manifest. Here's how we're going to do it. I'm like, whoa, you got to do the dark work first. Handle the dark work. Handle your trauma. Handle these things. Then you manifest. Because if you don't, all you're going to hear is that limiting belief system or that, you know, imposter syndrome or whatever's, you know, of the day is bothering you is going to be there on the forefront.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, as I talk to you, these things are just so simple. And they're, of course, presented very simply because at this point, I mean, you obviously know what you're doing for so long and because you've had so much practice. And I think for those of us, and I consider myself 4 years ago before I really started doing this work for myself, I would hear that and say like, ah, it's not that easy. I don't know how I'm, you know what I mean? Like we get stuck on that. Like, well, what the fuck? Like, how am I actually supposed to get this started? And so that's where you would suggest is the workbook or the course, right? Just to like get the ball going.
I would. So I've had two companies. I started both with no income, $300 in my bank account. This last one, I came home from my job at a rehab. I was director of a rehab. And I came home and told my husband I quit. And he said, rent's due in 2 weeks. We don't have the money. And I said, I'm going to start a company. And he just looked at me sideways and he's like, you need a website. You need business cards. You need clients. They pay. Like, you don't have anything. I said, I got this. I went to Vista Print, made it a free business card, spent the $5, had them overnighted. And I went to the local gym and I put my business cards out at LA Fitness. And he looked at me and he's like, that is your business plan? That's it, really? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get a client. And I'll never forget, he looked at me and he's like, okay. And then I took a piece of paper and then I wrote my company name that I created, how much I wanted to make that week, and I put it all around the house. And he looked at me and he's like, okay, this is just weird. And I'm like, sit back and watch. Let me show. 24 hours later, the phone rang. The guy found my business card at LA Fitness. I went down. I had a session with him for free. I closed the deal. I made $2,500, my very first private client. And I came home and handed him the check. And he just looked at me and he's like, really? I'm like, it's that simple. And he's like, really? I'm like, you never think you can't do it. That's where people go wrong. They stop and they go, well, I can't. It's too much work. It's too hard. It'll never happen. Who's going to hire me? You know, it's just a business card. There's thousands of people doing what I'm doing. All of that, the universe hears. Once you don't say that and you say, I'm going to do this, it's going to work. There is nothing that's going to stop me. It happens. So he said to me, he was a touring musician. And he said, so can you get me on a tour? I said, of course. He said, for real? Like, absolutely. So I said, write down what you want. And he wrote down, you know, USA tour, how much you wanted per gig, you know, all, you know, include a hotel, food, whatever. And we photocopied it, put it all around the house, put one in the car, put one in his pocket. And this is going back to 2013. So he had an electronic press kit. And I was on LinkedIn one day just fooling around. And this ad came through of someone in LA looking for a drummer. And I just sent the press kit, sent it out. Didn't think anything of it. Put his information in there. About 2 days later, he's out gallivanting around. And he calls me and he says, I got a strange call from this manager in LA. And the band was called Eric Sardinus and Big Motor Blues Rock. He was rock and roll. This guy was blues rock. And he's like, they want me to fly out and audition. And I said, for? And he goes, touring gig. And I'm like, well, go. And we didn't really have a lot of money at the point. So he's like, well, I don't know if I can get airfare. I'm like, I'm going to manifest your airfare. So I went through every credit card and points. And I combined them all. And I got him an airfare ticket out. One way out, one way back. That's all we could afford. So he gets out there. And he had 1 week to learn the music. So he learned the music. He gets out there. He auditions. He goes up against Fuel's drummer, Hinder's drummer, Buck Cherry's drummer. It's a big lineup. Wow. And he went up against him. And he called me. And he's like, I'm never going to get this. I said, stop right there. I am going to get this. And he's like, all right, I am going to get this. I'm going to try this. So he did.
Yeah.
He comes home and he's like, I don't know. And I said, oh, you know, you got this. He's like, okay, I got this. So we focused on, I got this for like 3 days. The phone rang. They said, you got this, but better. It's a USA tour. It's 3 weeks, which he put on his paper. And it was the exact amount of money to the dollar on his paper. And he goes, holy shit. And I said, that's manifestation 101. From there, he used it for everything for the rest of his life. And he passed away. Go ahead.
Oh, wait, what?
He passed away 2 years ago. But up until that point, I taught him how to do it. He used it for everything, literally everything.
Well, and you know, I hear this so often, and my creative director, she's so very much like helping me reframe a lot of the things that I do. Like, I didn't get this thing that I was kind of hoping for, but it didn't really feel super aligned, but it just like sounded cool. And I just wanted the experience and I didn't get it. And she was like, and she said, rejection is protection. And I was like, oh, that makes, okay. Okay. Something else is coming. Right. But I sometimes get stuck within the impostery, within these types of things, right? And then it's almost like when I say these things, I feel like I'm lying, or I say these things and I hear the but in the back of my head. So how do you distinguish between just saying it out loud and actually believing that it's possible to be true, or that it actually is completely true? Like, which one are we supposed to fall within?
So I'll give you a real life example. I wanted to open up a rehab in 2020. I wanted to open before COVID even. And I had been looking for an investor, actively looking for an investor. COVID hits and I'm like, okay, well, obviously now is not the time, you know? So I waited out COVID and all of a sudden a friend of a friend of a friend sent me a text that said, you've got to meet this guy. He's an investor in Vegas, big, big wig. Okay. So about 2021, he contacts me. He says, I want to meet you 2022, come out to Vegas. So I fly to Vegas. He puts me up in the Cosmo, 5-star treatment the whole way. This guy's like millionaire. And him and his brother want to open up this rehab. Great. Okay. So time goes on. This is October. By December, he goes, can you get to LA? We want to look at buildings in LA and Malibu. I'm like, awesome. Fly out. And there's this one we have our eye on. We're going to buy this place for 15 grand. Now, when you buy a rehab, it's like millions of dollars. They only went to 15 grand. So I'm like, what's wrong with it? Nothing. Everything's great. Everything's great. Okay. So I come back. My husband passes away. This all happened at the same time. So now I'm dealing with that. And they're like, you need to come out. You need to come out. You need to come out. And I started feeling like something wasn't right there. Not quite sure what. So I fly out and I find out this rehab is being sued for wrongful death. So there's that. Then I find out there's back taxes owed. So there's that. Ooh. And then I go and tour the one side of the building and it's full of mold. It has to be redone. And the investors are really pushing me to get like you need to kick in. We're going to buy this. We're going to, you know, get it going. And I'm like, you know, what's the rehab? Well, to do the rehab is like $300,000-$400,000. Then you get the licenses. So we came up with an idea to transfer the licenses to a different building. Pick out a building and everything is going to plan. And I come back and something in my head says, I don't know. And they were really pushing for these bigger buildings. Like they were buildings that were 40, 50 grand a month. And they were six beds. And I said, the numbers don't work. The numbers don't work. This is not going to work. I kept saying.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
No. And finally, I put my foot down and I said, no. Now, this was 2023. That building we had picked out burned up in the wildfires. It's gone. And I sat back and I was like, that is why. I would have put every penny I had into something, all of my time and energy into one project, sold my other companies, and I would have lost everything in seconds. So to your point, sometimes you think, this is the thing. This is the thing I want. This is what I need. This is the direction I want to go. Now that I've sat back and I realize rehab is not the way to go. People aren't going to rehab anymore. So my company's blown up, which is outside of the box rehab, sober on demand. We come to you instead of you going to the rehab. Oh. I've gotten more clients since I stopped focusing on a rehab. So yeah. What happens is sometimes you narrow your focus so tiny, you think this is what you want, and then you don't get it, and you go, oh no, what am I supposed to be doing? I'm kind of lost. I thought this was the way to go. But what you need to do is just sit back. Universe will bring you the thing you need in the time you need it. That's the piece people miss. We don't want to wait. And when we're told no, we want an answer of why. Why? Why? Why can't I have the rehab? Why? You know? And it's like, well, it took 2 years for me to figure out why I didn't need the rehab. But that's how it goes.
So it's what I'm hearing is that what I'm hearing is some of like meant to be kind of stuff. Having faith in the universe and what that looks like. And so how, and because so much of this is abstract and you come from a very clinical based, more as concrete as we can get, right? Within the mental health field, it's still massively, massively abstract. How do you bridge that gap? Or do you just not care to convince anyone? Or, you know, like, how do you do that?
I love that question. So most of the people that come to me for sober work specifically have been to treatment 5, 6, 7, 8 times. Evidence-based treatment, based in the DSM, based in psychiatrics, been around for 50 years, based in AA, abstinence-based. Totally, you know, evidence-based. And I say to them, how's that working out for you? That's all I say. And they say, well, it's not, I'm failing. Bam, let's try something new. Mic drop. Because that's not worked for you. Now, most people that come to me aren't newbies to sobriety. They're people that are treatment resistant or had a bad experience. So I said, let's try something completely new. And then I do a 5-day executive reset just for executives, just C-suite, that teaches them leadership skills and time management, stress reduction, and biohacking. And they're like, this is fucking amazing. Because no one's doing it. Everything is this evidence-based where we go in, we address your depression. Well, we don't address what causes it. We just say you have depression, take this pill. Right. We've created a disease and we've created a pill to solve your disease, but we never figured out why you have the disease. So when I tell people, I figure out the why. It's different, it's new, not for everybody. Maybe you want, you know, to have a psychiatrist in med management, that's great, but this is what I do. So it sort of balances out what's out there. But there are people that hate what I do, and there are people that love what I do. So,
sure. So how do you, when so many of us are starting to do this work, no matter what kind we do, we tend to get a good amount of pushback from the people in our lives, our friends, our family are typically the number one that push back against it. And what we see is that a lot of us have trouble pushing through anyway, knowing that my family thinks that I'm just out of my mind, or, you know, there's judgment and ridicule and all of that. How do you keep that outside of your kind of internal world?
So, good question. I was raised Catholic. I left the church at 14. Every time I talk about universe and universal law of attraction, my mother says, I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
And I'll say, okay, well, I'll dance naked around a fire for you when I do shamanism. I mean, it's all the same thing. And I tell people that it's just energy. So whatever you believe, we all believe the same thing. We just call it different things. Mm-hmm. And then I'll say we can agree to disagree, and we set a boundary. You know, if it's not working for me, I'm going to set a boundary. So that's fine that you don't like what I do, but you're not me, right? Like, you don't have the right to tell somebody you don't like their husband or their boyfriend or their relationship. That's, you're not in it. It's not your relationship, right? Yeah. Or you don't like their career. It's not your career. It's their career. Or how they parent their child. It's not your child. It's their child. So people have trouble not giving advice, and they have trouble not, you know, staying in their lane and saying, well, that's really not my, you know, wheelhouse. That I shouldn't be in, you know, putting my thoughts and opinions into what you're doing. So I tell people, set a boundary and say, you know what, I'm going to work with this, and it's okay if you don't like it. I'm okay with you not liking it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just being okay with the fact that they don't like it, right? Yeah. It's, yeah. And until usually we get some level of evidence that this is actually working for me, it feels harder to do that, right? Like, we're more slippery when it comes to the commitments that we make, because I just don't know. And I'm hearing this from this person and that person, and they're just like, okay. And, you know, we're getting so much of this criticism and this judgment. Is it because you've had so much success within it personally that you can believe in this with such conviction that other people's shit just doesn't penetrate? Or, I guess, how would you suggest that people who haven't started yet be okay with that?
So, double-edged sword. So growing up, I always knew I didn't fit, if that makes sense. I always had different beliefs from my family of origin. My family was very poor, and it was always, you know, just get a job, marry the local boy, pop out a couple kids, stay here. And I was always like, why? Why? Sure. That doesn't sound fun. Why? So I always bucked the system. So I was always known as the black sheep from like 7 on up. So that's nothing different. But for me, I've always sort of paved the way. And just to give you an example, when I started my brand, my Sober on Demand brand, the Addictions Academy, I had major pushback from the players in my industry. And not just hate, don't do that, but like hate on Facebook. You're a fraud, you're a scam, you're a con artist, like stuff now that you can't do. And I had to sue 11 people in my industry to stop it. Just to show you the power of law of attraction. I focused on disengaging and cutting any negative cords I had with these people, to the point where, like, I hired somebody who just does energy work to, like, go in and, you know, shift the energy so that I'm not focused on them, even though they were still daily posting and daily posting. Fast forward from, this happened in 2014. By 2017, out of those 11 people, one's in jail for raping a client. One died of stomach cancer. One lost everything, completely homeless. One tried to sell his company, but because he posted this stuff online and got sued, they wouldn't buy his company. So he ended up going bankrupt. So I know this works because I've watched it work. Like, there's no reason. All 11 people, something bad happened to. And I didn't do anything other than say, I just wanted to stop, you know? But that's what universal law of energy does. You know, there's all different universal laws, and it's not just attraction, it's repulsion, it's, you know, giving and receiving. So all of these things, you can't be negative all the time and not get, you know, a godsmack, as we say, or the energy to come back to you. So I know it works. I've been in it. I've used it to create. I've used it to repel. So I teach my clients, it's not just believing it, but it's learning all the laws and how they work to your favor, but you have to do the work too. You can't, you know, if you're having a bad day, this is give you the basic example. You wake up, you're late, and it starts there. And then you say, oh my God, I'm late. And then you're rushing and you drop your toothbrush on the floor. Well, now you got to throw it out. Now you're digging for a new toothbrush. You don't have one. Okay. So I can't brush my teeth. Then, you know, you have the bad mindset. You run out to make your coffee. You spill coffee everywhere. Then you get your purse caught on the door on the way out. Then you go to start the car and realize you have to stop and get gas. You're already late because you forgot to get gas last night on the way home. Then you got to go to the gas station. You can't find an open pump. You finally find an open pump, but it's broken. So now you have to keep driving around. It's like it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, right? So you have to shift your energy. If you don't shift your energy, your rest of your day will look like that. Mm-hmm. And then you will go, it's been a day. I can't wait to go to bed and start tomorrow. Instead of going, wait a minute. Take a deep breath and shift your energy and go, everything's about to be positive. Everything. I'm going to get gas. I'm going to run in there and get a drink. I'm going to be at work on time. I'm going to make these things happen. When you shift that, everything starts to shift. And at first, it won't feel that way because all the negative stuff comes back at you and you're like, oh my God, it's still negative. Because it's kind of like a time lapse or a lag. So if you're negative, 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 and then you put out one positive, and then you go, it didn't work because another negative comes back.
Sure. Yeah.
You've got to keep putting out positive, and then it's sort of like getting the wheel to move, and then it all comes back.
So do you think that we don't actually have to believe it in order to start utilizing this?
It's much easier if you believe it.
Sure. But, yeah, get that.
And I'll give you a Harvard study to back this up. So yeah. Harvard took 20 people and they put them all in ice baths and they told everybody had inflammation in their body. The first 10, they told why they were doing it and how the ice bath was going to work. And they had to sit in the ice bath for 3 minutes. That's what they told them. 3 minutes ice bath, your inflammation is going to go down by 80%, right? Wow. They told them why those people, and they told them to focus on believing that. They got in the ice bath. Every single one made 3 minutes in there. Every single one's inflammation dropped. The other 10, they didn't say anything to. They said, just get in the ice bath. Mm. Only one made it 3 minutes and none of their inflammation dropped. Mm. The difference was they were told something to believe. Whether it was true or not, didn't matter. They were told to believe this and they did and it worked. Mm. So it's, you know, and we talk about that's the thought piece. Then we talk about the other study of rabbits. There was a study done in the 50s with rabbits, and they fed them, the two groups of rabbits. One group was fed junk food, and the other group was fed the same junk food, but held by a researcher and said, I love you. You're so amazing. Look how beautiful you are. And the 10 that were told they were, you know, amazing had normal blood pressure, normal sugar levels. The 10 that were just fed garbage had horrible sugar levels and horrible blood pressure. Hmm. So it's a belief system. It's a mindset belief system. And that's where people don't get it. So if you truly believe it and you send out gratitude and love, it happens. And once you do it and you watch it and you go, okay, that's just luck. You do it again. You're like, okay, still luck. You do it like 3 or 4 times and you're like, oh, maybe I made that. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Maybe I have something to do with this. And yeah, I mean, it is these types of experiences where I used to be so in my body all the time, or in my head, really, all the time, that I couldn't quite, one, conceptualize time in any sort of a real way. And I would get so stuck in the here and now, but not in the here and now that we actually want to be in, right? Like not staying present and grateful for things. And instead, I would just build up so much of this anxiety and view our existence as just like this finite thing, and it starts and it stops and that's done. And it seems like for many of us who are doing the work, the more we do the work, the more into certain levels of spirituality we get into, because we're recognizing at some point these types of things that are more quote unquote man-made, just we're not there yet. We haven't gotten to that point yet. And that's where I see a lot of us kind of going more into the spirituality, where now I recognize that we are spiritual beings having a human experience and not the opposite. And that's where a lot of things have just shifted naturally for me. But, and there is still these kind of hangups that we can get into of like, oh, well, if I believe that, then like I'm also leaning into a way that I used to judge, or I never used to be this, and like, wow, what a hypocrite I must be. And so like, you're nodding. What are your thoughts?
So I tell everybody, you're self-actualizing. There's the past you and the new you, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe you did things differently and then you learned something. Like, for example, when I drive, I put my drink in the cup holder, right? Like everybody else. But I didn't know that if I turned it a certain way, if I slammed the brakes on, it wouldn't spill. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine taught me that. And I went, that's genius, right? Guess what I do now? I do it the new way. Do yeah. I chastise myself for the old way? No. I say, you know what? I didn't know any better. That's all I knew.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Now I know something different and I saw it work. Now I know this is how to do it. And it makes my life simpler. So it can be anything. If you had a belief or you had a thought or you had a childhood way of being, you know, in my family, it was you get married to the local boy, you moved next door to your mom, and you pop out kids and you work at the mall as a manager. That was my mother's goal. And I remember being 14, looking at her sitting at dinner going, fuck that. That is not me. And she was like, but that's what you're going to do. Oh, okay. Because that's what the women in my family did. And you're going to work like they did. And I said no. And I said no because I wanted a different life. Now, I got a lot of pushback for that. But now it's like, oh, you really did something with your life different, you know? So it's okay to have an old way of thinking and a new way of thinking. You don't have to punish yourself for the old way, but you do have to figure out what works for you and how to utilize that to continue working for you.
Yeah. So it's being open, right, to new and different things, and also giving yourself grace and forgiveness and acceptance, right, of previous ways that I tried these things that just didn't work for me.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. A lot of us get so caught up in that part. In the guilt and the shame and the judgment and the ridicule and the just the ick, and really just trolling ourselves constantly. And it's one of those things that now when I look back on the way that I used to speak to myself, it is wild. I can of course believe, it's just I don't even recognize her, how she used to speak to me and how she used to view me and how she used to just, ugh, gosh, just shit on herself so often. And I know what I was looking to achieve, which is just to be more successful, work harder, be just better all around from where I wanted to be. But I didn't realize that I couldn't hate myself into it. And so much of this came from my husband when he got sober from alcohol nearly 4 years ago. In 4 days, it'll be 4 years. And he did such a beautiful job of embracing fully AA and going into it. And he was stuck on the first step of finding a higher power because that just did not work for him. And that's where that's the step that took him the longest. And as he would come to me and say, hey, like, here's where I'm stuck. Like, my sponsor and I are trying to work through this. I can't get through this. I don't believe in this. I don't know how to do this. And he and I kind of started trying to conceptualize that for him, that then we realized that that's what it is for us, which wasn't any entity necessarily. It was more so just the universe and the future version of our kids, like what we wanted our kids to have in the future and who we would need to be in order to give that to them. And then of course that became who we want to be for ourselves and all of this. And it just becomes this kind of thing that I don't know how, if we don't have somebody else doing that for us or with us, we can get to that point of seeing kind of the quote unquote bigger picture and realizing how like truly small we can be in this entire universe, and using that to our advantage instead of feeling small as a result of it.
That's true. And the most vivid example of that is when women look great in their 20s, right? But the whole time they're like, I'm so fat, I need to lose 5 pounds, or I don't like this about me, I don't like that. And then they're in their 30s and they have kids and they're like, I can't lose this 5 pounds. And they look back and like, I was so thin back then.
100%.
And their friends go, all you talked about was how fat you were. Like, and they forget that. And then you get in your 40s and your 50s and you're like gaining 10, 15 pounds. You have the life change. And you look back like, I was so thin in my 40s and my 30s.
Yeah.
And all you did was tell yourself how fat you were. It's like you're never enjoying who you are in that moment because you're either talking about what was or I'm going to lose 5 pounds in the future. You're never in the present. So that's the other thing. People get sucked out of the present with past and future, and we're missing the fun of the present. Next thing you know, you're 50 years old going, oh my God, what did I do with my life? Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. You perfectly explained me. Like, after I had my kids and I'm way more squishy all over everywhere now. And yeah, I mean, this, gosh, smoke show. Like, the body that I used to have without even trying, insane. And so now I'm trying hard. And also at times when I'm not trying, that's kind of just what I tell myself is like, yeah, I see some squish. It's not super ideal. And if I want to do something about it, I will. And I haven't, which maybe means that that's not my top priority right now. And that's also okay. And so it's kind of just these kinds of narratives and self-talk that I think requires us to just speak to ourselves in different ways, which of course comes back to this entire premise of what we're talking about, which is that it's not just talking to the universe, it's talking to us within it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And you have to think too, like, you know, going back, why were you a smoke show? Were you married or were you single? You know, if you're single and you're a smoke show, you're trying to get a partner. That's part of the whole thing. You know, you're working out, you're eating right, you're top head to toe, looking a certain way. Then you get your partner and you start a family. You have kids. Well, you have kids. They become a priority, you know?
Yeah.
You're making dinner, and if you make chicken nuggets, you're eating two as you're making it because there's nothing else to eat. You don't feel like cooking. Yeah. So those things shift, and that's okay. We get caught up in the, well, I used to do this or I used to be that. Why can't I do that? Well, you didn't have kids back then, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
You know, you probably had more free time. Now you have less free time. So you also have different priorities. You shift into the mom role, and that's okay. We never give ourselves permission to make those different changes as we go through life, you know? Sometimes you're a wife, sometimes you're a mom, sometimes you're not. It's like, what, you know, where am I going to be? And it's okay to let certain things go.
I love that too, because yeah, that really is one of those things of like, yeah, I was 23, 24 when my husband and I got together, and we're now at 13 years. And so there is that part of like, yeah, I was in my early 20s, binge drinking, eating like shit. My body just like I was in my early 20s. Like, let's be real. She was doing just fine. And yeah. And now whenever I look back, it's like, that's never going to be achievable without a ton of surgery. And I'm not going to be doing that anytime soon. Again, at least. And now it's instead, I'm trying to do what's right for my body now, for like this next version of me. And so this version of me I refer to with my married name, and then my previous one, she's with my maiden. And she was even 4 years ago, even though we've been married for 8 years now. But she still existed up until then. And so there is kind of this grieving of this previous version of me. And I think a very natural acceptance that has to come from the previous versions of us that kind of just didn't know better, didn't see better, didn't believe better. And now we have that opportunity to be just a whole different version. So we're not getting back to anything, to your point. We are instead getting into something completely new and different, just with the same bones.
Exactly. And that version of you doesn't serve you well anymore.
Yeah.
If you think about it, everybody in their 20s, most of us, we could party all night and go to work the next day in the same clothes you had the night before without any sleep and function. Now, why? Number one, why would you do it? And number two, if you did it, you're going to feel completely different because you're in a different sector of your life. So it's okay. You don't do that anymore. You know, you do something different.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where I think it's a lot of us just get kind of trapped in that I've done this for so long, and so how am I going to change now, right? And to that point is, of course, then, okay, well, then you're going to stay exactly the same. And if that's good for you, then that's good for you and stay. But if you're ready for something new and different, we have to try something new and different.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I love this. So tell me a little bit more about your workbook.
So the workbook is designed for beginner to advanced, and it's got the 45 exercises that will get you unstuck. So limiting beliefs in here, circle of influence, like you hear the five closest friends of yours or your personality, that'll tell you about that. How to manifest, what the rule of 21 is, the secret triangles in here, all the things I've used for clients over the past 15 years to get them unstuck and into the next phase is in here. So it's very helpful, and a lot of clients love it. It's nice because you could photocopy it, or you can, you know, write on paper or write in the book and kind of get your mind going in the right direction.
I love that. And it's really just starting somewhere that it sounds like it's a very low risk kind of lean in. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
And here's where what I would do is order that, be all excited about it, get it, skim through it, and then put it on my nightstand. Or, and then it eventually ends up next to my nightstand collecting dust, just like all of the other books that I've been wanting to read, or workbooks that I've been wanting to do. So how do you suggest that somebody get started immediately without that kind of dopamine hit and then the dopamine trail off once we actually receive it?
So the 45 exercises you can do in 15 minutes each. So I would say buy it and then give yourself 15 minutes every day for 45 days and do one exercise.
Okay.
By the end of 45 days, you'll have done them all, and you're going to have a completely different outlook on what you want for your life. It's pretty neat. So you could just thumb through and pick one and say, okay, I'm going to do this today. And in 15 minutes, you can sit down and do that exercise.
Hmm. And would you suggest ever just binging that and running right through it as quickly as possible?
You could. I always tell people, though, sit with the exercise overnight and see if anything changes, too. Because sometimes you'll write your answers down real quick because you're in a hurry, and then you'll be out and about and go, oh, I want to add to that list, or I thought of something I wanted to change, or maybe I'm not sure if I like that answer. Come back and change it and make it what you want it to be. And sometimes if the exercise takes you a few days because you're adding to it and morphing it, that's okay too. And, you know, one of them in here, like the bucket list exercise, a lot of people will start, it's asking for 25 things you're going to do before you die. A lot of people write down five. And they'll say, it's all I have. And then 2 days later, they're walking around Target and they go, oh, I know what I want to do. I want to go parasailing. And then they'll, you know, text themselves to add it to the list. So that's kind of cool too. So it gets your brain thinking over time.
Yeah, it's not just getting it done like it's homework.
Exactly.
Right.
And they're fun exercises.
Yeah. Well, where can people find you if they want to learn more about you? How, and do you work with individuals, groups? How does this work?
So I do. UnpauseYourLife.com is the workbook. They can get that there. They can also get it on Amazon. I've got 6 books total on Amazon, including 3 workbooks that they can choose from. And then if you're interested in sobriety, we're at SoberOnDemand.com. And if you want to learn how to do anything like intervention or sober companion or mental health coaching, TheAddictionsAcademy.com. So they can find me at any of those portals.
Awesome. And are you active on socials?
Very. Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, just type in Dr. Callie Estes and I will pop up somewhere.
What do you suggest to people who are using social media as surrogate therapy, coaching, any of that? Do you have any advice for them?
I just did a whole post on, there's 2 types of people on social media. The people who are on there to complain and get validation from other people that their life is okay, which is a dopamine hit. Or the people that are on there going, look at my amazing life, to get validation that their life's amazing when they really hate their life behind the scenes. So yeah. Social media is fake. It really is fake.
Yeah.
So if you're using that as a way to make yourself feel better, find something else to do. And if you're using it to get advice from strangers, please find an appropriate professional to do that with, because there is a lot of bad advice out there. I am in a narcissistic group and the advice I hear blows my mind, and it's peer to peer. And I'm like, this is not right. This is wrong. This is going to get you killed, kind of a thing. So be wary of what people are telling you, because they're needing attention and they get validation by giving you information, and you get validation by receiving the information. So all of that is going on.
How do you recommend that they know whether the person that they're getting advice from is somebody worth listening to?
Google them, see if they have therapy license, or if it's a relationship coach, are they a valid relationship coach? Is this something they do for a living? Are they certified? Are they accredited? Go down the rabbit hole before you take somebody's advice, because if you follow someone's advice with no training on that topic, you're going to end up probably worse off than you were.
Fair and ditto. I completely, of course, agree with that. All right. Well, thank you so much, Callie, for being here. I really appreciate you. I'm so excited to dive into the workbook and just everything that you're doing. And I'd love to have you on in the future once I start this work and we can talk about the whole process that I took.
Awesome. I'm glad to be here and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You take care.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.